time forgot rule one.
Okay. If that doesn't end up in the floor and in multiple pieces, I'll be surprised. But my name's Steve Gaddis, and Brother Andrew asked me if I would, be interested in teaching a class, and I told him that that I would on finances. I wanted a subject that I at least had some experience with, and a little bit of knowledge anyway. So I was really challenged in this because I've spent the bulk of my life in... All right, is that everybody? I've spent the bulk of my life in Southern Baptist churches. And the teaching's just a little bit different, and we'll leave it at that. But I actually did some digging and some searching and preparing for this class. And it stretched me a little bit, which was a good thing. So the intent of this is, or the schedule for this is, it's supposed to be a 4-week class, and we've got a lot of material to get through today. I'm going to attempt to make it through the introduction and get all the way up to starting into some actual details for things like financial plans, how to do a budget, paying off debt, those kind of things. Before we start, I want to give you a little bit of data from the cards that were turned in. I had 11 cards submitted that came in. Of that, 55% of those items dealt with debt. 27% of them dealt with saving. Okay? So that knowledge is how I based the class. So there's some things that we're not going to go very deep into. There's things that we'll go deeper into. But that's what it was based on. So, finances. What is money? Can anybody give me a definition for money? Okay. Amen. Something we don't have enough of and we all want more of, right? Anybody else? So, in your book, you'll see this, but there's a very lengthy definition that I got off the internet, okay? And I'm not going to sit and read it, but it's lengthy. Then I got a little curious, and I went to an old trusted source, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and asked it what the definition of money was, and it was something generally accepted as a medium of exchange, a measure of value, or a means of payment. I said, okay, that sounds like a good definition to me. And over the years, I had kind of developed my own definition, and that is it's a product which provides a system of barter using a common means. So one of the problems you can have with bartering is if I got eggs and somebody else has beef and we want to make a trade, the value that I put on my eggs may be what Walmart's charging today, okay? And I may value that beef much less. So there were always disagreements and arguments over how much something was really worth. So what money does is money provides a common means of that. Okay, everybody's dollar is worth the same 10 cents today. The last definition I've got actually came from Dave Ramsey. It's the one of the clearest definitions I've ever heard of money, and that is it's a tool. Okay? Pure and simple. And what do we do with tools? Work with them or accomplish a task with them, right? That's it. So that's what money is. Money is something that we can use to accomplish something. Okay. What are the uses of money? If money's a tool, what can we do with it? Okay? So, number one, we can spend it. That worked perfect. Somebody got a guess for another one? What else can we do with money? Number two, we can save it. And there's one other thing we can do with money. Okay, we're going to go back and we're going to try that again, okay? Okay. We can give it, okay? All right, so when we're looking at money, we need a proper perspective of money. The world has a view of money. Anybody know what that view is? The more you get, the better you are. Money can buy me happiness. Money can get me anything I want. With that money will come power, okay? And that's based on people, as when someone has money, people give them power, whether they deserve it or not, or even whether they ask for it or not. Just the fact of having money will get you power. Okay? There's also a biblical perspective of money. Okay, and when we take a proper biblical perspective of money, we understand that everything we have belongs to God. It's loaned to us, okay? We are made a steward over it, but it all belongs to God. You know, I had somebody one time, it was supposed to be a trick question, and they asked, says, does 10% of your income belong to God? And I almost instantly answered yes, thinking that they're talking about the tithe. And then knowing who it was that asked me the question, it dawned on me, it's not that simple. And I thought just a second, I was like, nope, 100% of it belongs to God. So I want to try to establish a proper perspective on money. Because if we don't see money in the correct light, if we don't see it for what it is, it becomes a problem. It's a wonderful tool. Having a lot of it is not a bad thing. Okay? It's not. But when we assign the wrong priority to it, when we don't look at it through the correct perspective, it is a major problem. I started to look this statistic up. I didn't. And I know decades ago and four decades this was true, but it used to be reported the number one reason for divorce in America, money, finances. One way or another, okay? So when we don't have a proper perspective, it can destroy us and it can destroy our family. And it can quickly destroy your relationship with God, okay? So let's work on a perspective for money. The first thing we want to know is that everything we have belongs to God and we are merely stewards of what He gives us. Okay, that's money, that's automobiles, that's houses, that's time, that's talent, everything. Right. We're only going to focus on the money part for this class, but understand that all of it belongs to Him. He determines how long we're going to live, but what we do with that time is our choice. Okay? So let's look at Luke 16:11. It says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Okay. If God can't trust us with money, with time, with the little things that He gives us, then He can't trust us with things that are more important. Things that are eternal, things that are spiritual. Okay? So we need to have control of these things. We need to be obedient to His commands and His, I want to say unctions, and I don't like that word, but if He impresses upon you, this is what you need to do, it's what you need to do. Okay? another verse out of Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Here's where perspective comes in. If we put money, if we put cars, we put houses, we put clothes, we put jewelry, we put anything above God, then we can't truly serve God. Okay? 1 Timothy 6:10. I'm sure everybody here probably knows this verse, so let's fill it out. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? So, most of us have probably heard that verse, but we probably only hear it to that point. I know a lot of times, whether it's preaching, teaching, anything, I've only heard it to that point because somebody's trying to make a point about the love of money being the root of all evil. Let's look at the rest of this verse. Which while some coveted after, okay, here we go. We're going to put money above God. We're going to want it so bad that it controls us. They've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many of y'all know anything about previous lottery winners? Anybody heard the stories? Okay. I actually was going to include some of this in this class. And I found a lot of conflicting information, and because I couldn't determine what was true and what wasn't, I punted the whole thing. But one of the things that I've heard is that most of the people who win the lottery, within some set amount of time, sometimes it's 3 years, sometimes it's 5 years, but it's always a short period of time, are bankrupt. Okay? They get that money. They think, I'm on top of the world. This solves all my problems. And look, it can solve some problems for you. Money can definitely solve financial problems for you, okay? It's not a bad thing, but it becomes the sole focus. They end up wasting the bulk of it. They spend it on, I'm going to quote a Dave Ramsey here, okay? They're buying things they don't need and they can't afford to impress people that they don't even know, much less like, okay? But if I win the lottery, it gets me some fame, right? I'm going to be on television and radio and all these things, and they'll follow you for a little while. So when I go, ooh, I just bought me a $5 million mansion and I'm driving a $3 million car, That's what they want, is to impress people. And they end up spending it all. And then at the tail end, they can't pay the taxes on what they've bought. So they end up going bankrupt. So then that brings on nothing but sorrows for themselves. I have heard people who were very wealthy and then lost it all turn around and say that losing it was the best thing that happened to them because having it made their life worse. You know, who's going to try to steal it from me? You know, how many friends do I get now that I got money that I didn't have before? And what does each one of them want? Okay. There's also some advice that we've all probably heard concerning money. So we're going to talk about some common or bad financial advice or sayings. The first one, and I actually have heard this typically at high school and college graduations, okay? Make as much money as you can, as long as you make it honestly, morally, legally. People change the last word a little bit. Does that sound like good advice? No, there's actually I'll go here. There's actually an old classic rock song that has better wisdom in it than this, and it says you can spend all your time making money, and you can spend all your love making time. You can give up everything in your life chasing another dollar. Another one, and this one typically comes from financial advisors or people who are very smart when it comes to money. They just don't have a biblical view of it. And that is, never pay off your mortgage, you need a tax write-off. Anybody here ever heard that said? No? Wow. Okay. I actually want to explain this, okay? Because if you ever hear this, it does not save you money, it costs you money, okay? Here's the concept. You have a mortgage. Let's pretend your payment is $1,000 a month, okay? And the very first payment you make, about $950, is interest, and $50 goes to principal, okay? Second payment, $951 goes, or $949 goes to interest, right? The interest comes down slightly each payment, and a little more goes to principal. Let's say you make that payment for 12 months, right? 1 year, tax year. You paid $12,000, okay? That's what you paid out. You get to write off the interest, as in you get to write that off of your income when you do your federal income taxes. State too, I think, but don't quote me on that. So they're different. But anyway, so you get to take the interest, which will be a little less than $12,000. Remember, a little bit of it went to the principal each time. So let's just say it's about $11,000. You get to write $11,000 off of your income. Depending on your tax bracket, the amount of money you're actually going to get back from paying that is usually around $1,500 to $3,000. Does anybody see that? Don't answer this, but does anybody see that as a good game? Because if you do, I'll do it for you. You pay me $1,000 a month, and at the end of the year, I'll send you double what the IRS would send you back, and I'll make plenty of money, okay? The viewpoint that a financial person is looking at this from is the fact that you're going to have a mortgage your entire life. Okay? And God's plan is you don't. Okay? Two different perspectives. All right, another one I've heard, and I hear this one more in church than anywhere else, is God wants or needs me to tithe to help pay for church activities. I'm going to be real blunt in this. God owns it. He don't need you. Okay? If anybody listens to current event news, stuff like that, they're talking about right now this great redistribution of wealth, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. God can redistribute wealth, and He can do it just like that. Okay? He can literally take you out and put your money wherever He wants to put your money. So, all of this is building up to one thing. We need a perspective, a proper perspective of money. We need to understand what it is. We need it. We all need it. There's nobody denying that, okay? We need it, but we need to look at it correctly, and then we need to be obedient in what God wants us to do with it. Okay? I want this to be as interactive as possible. If you have a question, you're free to raise your hand, and as soon as I'm to a stopping point, I'll ask. If not, I'll try to take some breaks occasionally and ask, but does anybody have any questions? You got that right. No. And I'm going to guess that in most of the instances you're speaking of, once that person's gone, the church is probably blessed more. And it doesn't have anything to do with that money. Okay? It has to do with the attitude of that person within the church. The heart, the attitude. Because if that person really believed that they were somehow responsible for, oh, my tithe is what's keeping the doors of this church open, their heart wasn't right to begin with. They couldn't be doing the other things that God wanted them to do. Okay? Money's important. I'm not trying to downplay money. I'm sure not saying you don't need it. If you don't, come talk to me. I want to know your plan, because in my plan, I have to have it daily. Okay? Sure. Money. There has to be something. Yeah, there has to be something that's consistent, because you cleaning my gutters is only worth $100 to me, but me sweeping your driveway is worth $500, so you owe me more. Right. Right. Well, and it's a hard issue. People are greedy. We know all people are evil, right? I mean, it is what it is, and everybody gets that greed side to them where they want more and more. Brother Andrew, what time do we need to end? Okay, perfect. Okay. So, how many people, show of hands, please, how many people in here have heard of Dave Ramsey? I think just about everybody. How many in here have read any of his books? Okay, quite a few. So, if you know him, you've listened to him, you've read his books, you're going to know that a lot of this comes from him, okay? Or at least it's in his books. I believe that it's biblically based, and I believe there's scripture to back it up, and that's why I use it also, okay? So, but if you have not, I do have some suggested reading material, okay? And I suggest that you read them in that order, because the first two books are going to deal with how to make a financial plan, and do a budget, and then execute. And the last one is kind of once you're done, everything's paid off, you get to the last part, which is called build wealth and give. There's a little more to that, and it goes into more depth over the doors that are opened and the actual blessing they can be. Okay? All right. So anybody who wants to organize their finances, anybody who wants to start a business, they need a plan, okay? So we're going to start with a financial plan. I'm going to lay out, and the bulk of this is from Dave Ramsey's book, but I'm going to lay out a financial plan, and this plan will work, okay? But I want you to understand it's not the only financial plan. People's circumstances are different, and That means the way you go at things can be different. Two people both have $50,000 in debt. I don't care what kind of debt it is, okay? Both of them have $50,000. One makes $5,000 a year. The other one makes $500,000 a year. There's a different plan here, okay? So it's not just income. It can be situations at home. It can be the amount of debt, the type of debt. All that plays into it, okay? So please do not take this as we go through it and go, this is my plan and I have to follow it. It may be, but it may not be, okay? So I just want to lay that out up front, that this isn't the only plan, and it will not work for everybody. So the first part of this plan is we need an emergency fund, okay? And we're going to start with calling this one a starter emergency fund. It's also been referred to as a baby emergency fund, okay? And what this emergency fund is supposed to provide us is the ability to handle a financial emergency without stopping the rest of our plan. Okay, there's quite a few steps to our plan, and we're going to jump in somewhere, and we're going to be executing them and going down the list, checking things off, right? And something's going to happen. Car's going to break. Dishwasher's going to break. Pick it. Do what? The dryer caught on fire. Yeah. had to go there, didn't you? Okay, it happens. Life happens. Things in this life are not perfect, okay? And things are going to break. But when that happens, and I don't know what happened to your car, but let's just say that it's $500 to fix it, okay? When that car breaks and you need $500 to fix it, and you have to have it, it's not an option. It's how you get to work and back or how you get to school or whatever your life is. You have to have that vehicle. We don't need that $500 to say, I can't do anything else except for go pay this, okay? We need to have a fund sitting there that we go, that money's there. It hurts to spend it, but I've got to take care of this emergency, take care of it the whole while you're still over here executing your plan, okay? And when that happens and you get it paid for and things get going again, you got to put money back into this fund and get it back up to the minimum. Now, I've written a lot up here, and I haven't told you any of that yet. The gist of it is this. Dave Ramsey suggested $1,000, but he's been suggesting that for over 20 years, okay? And I agreed with him for about 17 of them. In the last few, if you take into consideration just the cost of things, what inflation's doing, this kind of stuff, I don't know that $1,000 is sufficient. Okay. So, my boy just had a transmission replaced. It was $5,800. So, I mean, you may need a $5,000 emergency fund. You may need a $10,000 starter emergency fund. Okay. It's going to depend on your lifestyle and what you have. But you need to get some money set aside so that when an emergency occurs, you can deal with it without dropping your entire plan. And you do not use debt. I'm just going to start saying it now, okay? And you can throw things at me if you want, but we're going to say this all the way through this class, and we'll get to it. Do not use debt. That's correct. Right. So in this plan, we're going to get to debt, okay? So don't write me off just yet. We will get there. There is a way to deal with it, and there is a way to get out of it once you're in it, okay? But this isn't just a financial plan. This is a lifestyle, okay? You're going to change your entire life. If your normal life has been living paycheck to paycheck, in debt, maxing out credit cards, borrow for everything, all that's gone, okay? So I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we will get there. So once we have this starter emergency fund. Now we've got a little bit of a cushion, a rainy day fund. You can call it anything you want, but we have some money sitting here on the side so we can deal with an emergency. Now, I also want to define what an emergency is, and this one ain't always so fun for me, but guys, it doesn't mean you want new golf clubs, and it doesn't mean you want a new gun, and it doesn't mean you want a new fishing rod or reel. I'm sorry. Women, you don't need a new pair of shoes. You don't need a new hairdo. Okay, it goes both ways. And look, we're all human. We all have our weakness in this area, okay? There's all of us have something that we like. An emergency is not going to Baskin-Robbins. No, it cannot be. See, I knew if I moved this over to food, it would get a little more confrontational. It's not going out to dinner, okay? That is not an emergency. There's a way to plan for those things. There's a way to have money for them, but that's not an emergency, okay? An emergency is something that you have no choice but to deal with because it impacts your life, okay? All right. I'll try not to hound on it anymore. So, once we have that fund sitting there, we've got a way to deal with an emergency. The next thing we want to do is, came up in a different place than I was expecting, but we want to pay off all of our debt except the mortgage. Understand, we're going to deal with mortgage separately from all other debt, okay? Because mortgage is going to be long-term in most cases. So we're going to deal with it a little bit differently. But we're going to use something that has been named debt snowball, and we're going to cover it in detail later. But we're going to pay off all the debts as fast as we can. So this includes credit cards, automobiles. This can be student loans. But with the way education and the cost of it is today, student loans, yeah, don't do it. But if you already have, student loans may have to get done almost like mortgage, because there's kids coming out of college with $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 in student loans. And they're not coming out with degrees to be a doctor or a lawyer that they can go make that money back. Okay? So, student loan, if it's small, say $25,000 or less, we're throwing it in this category. If you have a big enough income, we can go higher than that. But, you know, in general, $25,000 less, we're going to get it in this debt snowball and we're going to get it paid off. We'll keep the two large mortgage and large student loan we'll deal with separate. Okay? The intent of this is to pay the debts off as fast as you can. Okay? To do that, we're not going to Baskin-Robbins. Okay? I know some people must really like Baskin-Robbins. Does any exist anymore? Okay, I knew of one in Tennessee, but I don't. Loved it as a kid. There is a way that we can go to Baskin-Robbins, okay? This isn't some miser's life we're being set up for. It may be for a short term. If we didn't do things right from the beginning and got in this situation, we may have to live like a miser for a little while to get out. But once we're out and we're going to cover it, there's a place where some freedom comes in there, okay? And Baskin-Robbins and Chick-fil-A and whatever else. I don't want to know, do I? will become more and more of an opportunity for us. Okay. So once we have our debts paid off, except for mortgage and possible student loan, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to fully fund, we're going to do a full emergency fund. That is 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Some people, depending on your lifestyle, may need less. Others, depending on your lifestyle, and rather than lifestyle, let me say your circumstances, you may need more. Okay? At one point, I had four kids at home, all four that I was completely responsible for. I wasn't comfortable with 6 months, so we built up beyond that. Okay? That was just our situation. If you don't have kids, if you're single, there's all kind of circumstances. Those can move this around. Okay? Again, I said this isn't the only financial plan. You have to work this out. My big thing in this was that I wanted that lady sitting right back there, my wife, to go, I'm comfortable with this. Because if I go to her and say, I'm going to leave you 1 month's living expenses, and if something happens to me, good luck to you, that wasn't going to fly. Okay? So it needed to be something that she agreed to. All right, so once, and by the way, living expenses are true living expenses. You've got to have food. You've got to have shelter. You've got to have clothes. Outside of those three, I'm going to be honest, it all becomes negotiable. Okay? Now, some of it, we're going to get to a point where you go, I still have to have this. An automobile to get to a job. Okay? If not, I don't have a way of earning an income. So there are other things you have to have. But we'll start with those three. Beyond that, you have to look at them very hard. Do I really need cable television? Do I really need a cell phone? And look, that's a sticky one. I get it. There's safety issues. There's travel. We don't have a phone at home. So, you know, and in each one of these, you may come to the decision of, yes, that is required for me. That's fine. You have to come to that decision. Okay? I'm just saying you've got to look at it honestly and determine, do I really have to have that? Okay? Can you get it cheaper? Can you do used? When you get to that part, there's a whole lot of games that can be played. And there may be a way to do it and still fit it within a budget. But you've got to get it within the budget. Okay? So once we have, I put not vacations, not eating out. Okay, those are not going to qualify as living expenses. So once we get the full emergency fund built, the next thing we need to start working on is the future. Uh-oh. Okay, and in that future, we're going to start saving 15% of household income for retirement. Now, I said this isn't the only financial plan. Okay? No, I said it wasn't, so I want you to understand the biggest thing in this is that 15%. Okay? If you can only do 10, do 10. If you can only do 5, do 5. If you can afford to do 25, I'd encourage you to do the 25. If anybody has sat down and looked at retirement, and it's not something I have planned to go over, but we may get there. If you sit down and look at it, the biggest thing that is on your side in building a retirement is time. Building a retirement in 5 years is going to be very hard. Building it in 50 years just became fairly doable, okay? The other thing that I'll go ahead and throw out here is the definition of retirement, because people have different definitions. And the only thing I'm going to say on it, the way I see it, is that it means you do not have to get up and go to a job 5 days a week. You may choose to continue to do a little work. It does not, to me, it does not mean go kick your feet up on a table and drink your coffee and do nothing the rest of your life, okay? A lot of people have that view of retirement. And if it's your view, it's your view. But I think there's a lot to be done. You know, there's a lot to be done not only in your community, in your church, you know, in your family. And that's all still going to cost money. So if you're not looking at how do I provide for myself, as I end work or have to end work out to until I pass, then you're kind of taking and putting a burden on your kids or other family members that they probably don't need. Okay, so we need to plan for ourselves, and this is part of it. The next one, once we're putting the 15% into retirement, the next one we're going to do, and I put down straight out, this is a personal choice conviction, is save for college fund for children. You can also do this for grandchildren if you want. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But this is where that would come in if you choose to do it. I'll tell you that we did not do this, and it was very intentional on my part. I paid my way through school. My wife, for the most part, paid her way through school. And it meant something to me doing that. And I saw something changing way too fast of entitled kids and people, well, mommy and daddy foots my bill to go to college, and I'm going and partying, flunking out, and they're paying the bill. I just said, no, my kids will pay their own way to school if they go. Okay? Now, I'll help them some. I do some things to encourage them to make good grades and all that, and it's money, but I'm not saying, here's your free ticket, go ride it. Okay? So that's a personal choice or conviction there, whether you do that or not. If you don't do this, proceed directly to the next step. I know we're out of time. If you'll give me 60 seconds, I'll end it. The next one is pay off the mortgage. So think about it. We built our little emergency fund, right? We paid off all of our debts except mortgage and possibly a student loan. We built our full emergency fund. We started preparing for the future, both ours and potentially our children's or grandchildren's. We're building retirement, and we may be working on a college fund for them. The next thing we need to do is we need to get rid of the mortgage. And paying just a little bit extra with each payment cuts years and tens of thousands of dollars off of a mortgage. Okay? And then the last one is build wealth and give. Okay? Oh, I want to see what's next, but... Oh. Okay. All right, so we're going to end right there. Just so you know, the next one we're going to talk about is a budget. I didn't make it quite as far as I wanted to today, but I think we can be okay and cover the next 2 weeks. So we're going through the book in order if you want to look ahead to see where we're headed. But we're going to deal with a budget, and that is basically take every dollar coming in and tell it what it's going to do. You got to assign it, and you got to have more coming in than you have going out. And then once we get through that, we're going to get into some details and how to get rid of debt. And then I'll give some examples on the mortgage of what paying the extra does. Okay? Any questions, comments? No? Well, I appreciate y'all interacting. Again, it makes it easier for me if you interact and if you have questions or things. It throws them out and lets them get answered. And a lot of times one person might be willing to ask a question that three or four people really want to know. So feel free. This kind of stuff ought to be taught at school. I agree 100%. The other thing is it ought to be taught at home, and it's not. It may be here, but in general, it is not.